Hello, hello everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie today on our third episode of season two, babies. When I tell you, remember that I had told y'all before that we are going to be having some guests on this season. Last season, we only had one guest, but this one, we're going to have quite a few. And babies, we have our first guest here today for our topic, which is entitled Confessions of a Prior Drag Queen. Now, y'all know how we start every episode before we get into this topic and before I introduce y'all to the guest co-host today. Y'all know how we do, whether you're laying on your bed listening to me on your earphones, you might even be in your car having me on the stereo, or you might even be in your grocery store doing your monthly or weekly shopping. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Without any further ado, let's dive right into this topic of confessions of a prior drag queen. And like I told y'all, the person that we have with us today, now before I say a name, let me ask, would you like me to call your given name or your drag name?
My normal name. Yeah.
Okay, so babies, y'all heard him. We have Mr. Jason Nolan as a co-host today here on Tea Time with Effie. And some of y'all might even know him as Peyton Vivian Ramos. But like I said, let's just dive straight into this topic because, ooh, babies, we're going to spill some tea today. So, Jason, obviously, like I have said to our listeners, you are a previous drag queen. You don't specifically do drag anymore. So I have a few questions that I just want to ask you just so that people can have an understanding of how you came to the decision of stopping drag, why you started drag, what type of drag you did, and all that kind of shit. So the first question that I have for you today is, before starting drag, when you was younger, you know, did you ever think that you would take part in being a drag queen, artist, or performer?
Well, good day, everyone. Hi there, everyone all over the world. So, I never thought that I would ever get into a dress or drag ever. It was never on my, you know, bucket list. And so growing up in a household where my parents are very open about topics within the LGBTQA plus community, as well as very hands-on within the community, you know, I've always been exposed to drag or to the art form. I never liked drag at the beginning or growing up, because at one stage I felt like, so firstly, just to give you some context, I was on the scene since I was about 15, so not really understanding much at the time. I was always against, you know, guys in dresses, because why would I want to be seen with a guy in a dress, you know? It's like, then I might as well just be with a girl.
Yeah.
And so I never understood that at that time, you know, there's more to drag than just what I'm looking at in front of me. I didn't really take into consideration that there's feelings behind that dress and behind that makeup and behind that hair and the nails and so forth. And so, yes, and so I never thought that I'd ever, you know, step into a dress and have the high heels on and even get into pageantry.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought that I would.
Thank you so much for that, Jason. So y'all heard it straight from Jason. He'd have never thought that he was going to, you know, become the drag persona that he had created. But look at what the universe done did to him. Babies, let's go on to the second question. So Jason, what was some of the deciding factors which convinced you or contributed to you starting drag and specifically going into the drag pageants. Mm-hmm.
So what basically motivated me and pushed me to a point where I actually now wanted to, or why I entered a pageant, was simply for the fact that, you know, I became close with a lot of Cape Town based drag queens. Mm-hmm. And so because I, like I said, my parents is very hands on within the community, and so we've always had drag artists staying over, living with us, like the legendary Irma La Douche, and to name quite a few others. And so obviously getting to know the person behind the drag itself, you know, made me understand a bit, not fully, but a bit. It made me understand a bit about, you know, who the person is behind the drag. And so you build a relationship with that person, you now start to understand, and you start to empathize and feel that emotion that that person goes through. For example, I used to be one of those boys that I'd call them out straight out and be like, yo, that's a man in a dress. You know, I'd be the bully basically. But now you've built a bond with someone, and you've basically taken that person as your brother or your sister, and so now the dynamic becomes completely different. And so you want to stand up for that person and advocate for that person. And then I made a bet with one of my friends once that if he comes out of the closet, you know, I'll definitely step onto a drag pageantry platform, assuming that you would never ever come out of the closet. You know, I would be safe.
Yeah.
And then eventually he came out, and so me being the person I am, I kept my end of the deal, and I then decided to enter a pageant. But I've also been in quite a lot of circles within Cape Town, and just to give you some context around that, was I was friends with a said group at the time, and sadly one of the friends within the circle passed away, and they used to have a pageant in the yard, and so I've always looked at them as being the risk takers, you know. I never wanted to take that risk ever, and I was the only one in that group that had never taken the risk to drag. And so I thought to myself, you know what, Jason, you'll be knocking out one bird with three birds. You'll be killing three birds with one stone, basically. Yes. So what I mean with killing one bird with three birds with one stone. Yes, I'm not getting this wrong. So it's basically then me stepping up on stage into pageantry would be me, you know, showing those friends that I had at the time that I stand in solidarity with them. Also, you know, being a activist within our community as well, it would give me that platform that I need to basically just voice my opinion, how I feel about drag, and show people that, you know, you're more to just the makeup and the hair and the nails, and that there's an actual person behind all of the drag and the glitz and the glam. And I supported my then partner at the time as well, quite intensely with his makeup and, you know, becoming an up and coming makeup artist. And so it gave him the platform to constantly practice on me as well, you know, to perfect his art. And so one day I sat back and I was thinking about it, just doing some reflecting, and I'm thinking, you know, I've actually learned a lot by taking that one step. And so I'm so glad that I've taken that step. And so that's basically why I decided, you know, let me enter a pageant, let me try this out. Let me advocate for those that can't stand up for themselves, or that's too shy to stand up sometimes for themselves, or that they don't have that self-esteem, you know? And so, yeah, so I entered a pageant the first time. I was first princess. And when I'm telling you, girl, when I got out on that stage, nothing could have prepared me for my emotions at that time, right?
Good emotions?
Completely. First, it was complete nerves because people is just not going to be clapping for me, and, you know, and I got out on that stage and people was screaming for me. Nobody really knew I was, but people were screaming, and that just motivated me, you know, to want to strut on the runway and show off them legs, you know? And so, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Jason. Okay, so let me just break down this question just a little bit. So what we said was, what were some of the deciding factors? So one of the specific deciding factors that convinced you to jump into drag and do the pageantry was because you were surrounded by drag queens who were also pageant queens, and also partly maybe because of the person who had passed away?
Yes, so my uncle, Uncle Ali, you know, sadly passed away. He was known as the legendary Ermela Douche. And so it was merely as well for, you know, my family dynamic. I think if I didn't have the support from my family, I wouldn't have taken that big step. And so I owe a lot to them as well, you know, for encouraging me to basically take up that step, because they've been the support structure from day one. So yes, that is one of the big deciding factors, but the major one for me, you know, that stands out of the three would definitely be the one where I went on stage and showed that this boy, you know, can become anyone that he wants to be. And so it also showed the other boys I used to hang out with that used to, if you may say, bully, you know, drag queens, that, you know, there's more to the girl with the hair and the makeup on, and yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, let's go straight into the third question, babies. Jason is spilling the tea with us here today. So, can you tell us how you came up with your drag name, which was Peyton Vivian Ramos?
Well, of course, you know, being in a partnership at the time, I actually didn't really come up with my full name. I must give credit where credit is due, of course, you know. And so my previous partner came up with my name, and then my second name is Vivian, right? That's where the Vivian fell in, and then I wanted an exotic Latino surname, which was Ramos. And so Peyton Vivian Ramos was born. Funny enough, my first drag name, you know, the mock drag name, as they may call it, was Vivacious Nolan Breda, you know?
Vivacious!
And so, yeah, so there's there's history behind that name, and there's a story behind, you know, the name and the surname, but we definitely am not going into detail on that one, because Vivacious itself can tell you a lot.
Thank you so much, Jason. Okay, so I want to ask you about your drag house, because everybody don't know, but yeah, let me just ask this question. So as you were the founding member of the House of Ramos, what made you decide to start the house?
Well, of course, I wouldn't say I started a house, because it's always been a house. And what I mean with that is, I can't take responsibility for starting the house, because my mother, my father, and my sister played a very big role in the house itself, you know. And as far as I can remember going back, in creche already, you know, we had lip sync performers. One of the legendaries back then, known as the Whitney Houston of Cape Town, and so the Shirley Bassey, and you know, so I really owe it to my parents, basically. They opened their doors up to so many of our LGBTQA plus members that was in need of a place to stay, that parents weren't accepting them. And so I really can't take ownership for you know, starting the house. I must give them credit and say, you know, my parents are the founding members of the House of Ramos, basically. And myself and my ex-partner, and of course my sister, we then came afterwards. And so we, you know, we obviously became now more involved, and we basically build stronger allies within the community, where we can invite more people to come in and explore their own creativity and, you know, just explore themselves, get to know themselves, give them an environment where there's a mother and a father that can actually guide them and say, oh no, you know, that dress isn't the best dress for you. Like my grandma as well, one of my biggest supporters, you know, she stayed with us for the longest time, and she'd call me if she knows there's a pageant tonight, and she'll say, Jason, show me that dress that you're wearing tonight.
Yeah.
I don't like that dress. Wear that dress or put on that bather, you know? And so, yeah.
Okay. So then, as you say that your family, your actually yes. given birth family
yeah, yeah.
was the founding members of the House of Ramos, can we then say, or maybe you can elaborate for me, did the house become better known when Peyton started doing pageants, or was the house already like building and Peyton just like was the cherry on the cake?
Well, I can definitely say that it was known, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was known within the community that this is a safe space always, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Legendaries, I can like name drop quite a few people that has actually walked out here. Different people that was never shy to walk out of the house with drag wears in their own houses they used to be. And so I think it was merely for the fact that because of the age gap and because of times evolving, it made it easier for me to connect with the younger youth. And so, yes, I think that you know, when Peyton was born, it definitely opened up different avenues, and it also opened up a whole lot of doors to basically the newer generation to come and step in, because obviously it was now the older queens that knew about this and that knew that they had access to it. However, the younger ones weren't that aware because my parents aren't actively on the club scenes within the community. Yeah.
Okay. And babies, just to spill some tea, yes, I am Peyton's drag daughter. I cannot say that I'm the oldest one, because y'all heard there was some legendaries before me, but she my mama. Anywho, let's go on to the next question. Oh, thank you, Jason. You're giving me some good content today. Anywho, let's see. When did you first start thinking that you wanted to end your drag career? And can you give us some deciding factors, if there are any?
Well, if the funny thing is that when we go through things in life, we sometimes don't realize the trauma that we put ourselves through, and sometimes the fact that we stop ourselves from growing in different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of course I was so young on the scene at the time, there was a lot of things I needed to develop about myself, or that I felt needed development. Emotionally, I needed to develop. I needed to develop financially, in terms of education, I needed to focus. And so, yes, Peyton played a very big role in my life. And pageantry was every weekend, and to me it was always thinking about dresses, always thinking about buying makeup, investing in this, doing charity and that, you know, getting drag out there into the world and getting people to accept the art fact, to accept the form of drag. And so for me that was an important thing to do, actually, you know. But it has stopped me from focusing on other things that I think I needed to focus on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because, of course, at the time, at that specific time that I was at the peak of my drag career, if you may put it at yes. that, I went through my breakup, of course, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be quite honest, you know, I haven't spoken to a lot of people about this and really opened up about the topic. Because, of course, I haven't published anything on social media, on any social platforms explaining what happened.
Yeah.
But my breakup had obviously taken a toll on me in terms of my emotion and my emotions and my mental state at the time.
Yeah.
And so I felt that the right thing for me to do at that time was to take a step back, breathe and say, you know what, Jason, Peyton will always be there. She's never going anywhere. The house that your parents have always started and that they've built from the ground will always be there. So step back, regain your energy and your focus, and just focus. Focus on what you want in life. Focus on what you want to achieve in life, and focus on who you want to become in life. I must give credit again there as well to close friends of mine that I was with at the time of my breakup, that really understood, you know, what I was going through. And they motivated me a lot to a point where I said, you know what, guys, I appreciate the help. Thank you so much for what you want to do. But I think that it's going to be only... it will only be fair to myself to take that step back. Because the words exactly to me was, you know what? Just because you're going through that tough time now, use Peyton to basically get rid of that emotions that you were feeling, that sadness, that anger, you know, use it as a vessel. And so they were great supporters of mine, and making me dresses when I needed it, and so I've learned a lot of other skills like sewing and stitching, etc. But I always knew that, you know, at that point I needed to just take a step back and regain my energy. And hopefully, you know, you never know, you might just see Peyton on a ramp one of these days, or in a year or two I might just pop out and be like, hey, what's up, you know.
Thank you so much, Jason. Okay. So, on that topic of you, let's just say not ending drag, but just taking a breather. Let's say taking a breather.
Yeah.
How has the LGBT plus community reacted or treated you when you decided to close the door on your drag career? Were they supportive? Or actually, you kind of answered this question in the previous one, but if you could just break that down for me, please.
Look, of course, with every, if you may put it at this, like with every career, because of course within pageantry that is a career in a lifespan, I think, in my opinion, of course. There will be your naysayers, there will be the ones that is not going to be happy with, you know, stepping back, because you've evolved to a point now where you're winning pageants within Cape Town, with outside of Cape Town as well. And so you get those fans that are basically loyal supporters, and they saying no. Don't give up on what you've started, you know. And of course they didn't understand what I was going through at the time, because again I haven't explained to anyone. And so of course you had the one or two odd ones that would be like, yeah, no, you should have given up long time ago. But I of course never let that get me down. I just kept it moving within any community, whether it be our hetero or any other community that we're in. You'll always get a positive and a negative. And so, you know, you just take the negative as it comes and you keep it moving.
Okay, thank you so much, Jason. Okay, so I had to include a question, like a comparison type question, and I wanted to ask you this. In general, is there a difference, or was there a difference, in the way that people treated Peyton compared to how they treated Jason?
There was quite a big difference. So I think this is a touchy subject for a lot of people, I think, as well. And I'm going to be quite frank about this. So as a boy, I think that, you know, I can come across as being very aggressive in my approach at times, and can be considered as part of my masculinity, or and so obviously stepping into drag, you'll become more feminine and you'd calm down a bit more, and so people would treat me different. People would say that I'm a bit more stuck up, that I don't have any personality, and so I took that as it came. Yeah, but I do feel like people, yes, people have treated me a bit differently. People wouldn't speak to me because I'm in drag now, because they obviously don't understand what they don't understand the they don't understand the drag art form itself, I think. I think I was at that place. I'm all over with this question because mm-hmm. I'm analyzing a whole lot of things at this time and trying to process it and to project it like in the way that you maybe want me to.
Yeah.
And so I'm just stumbling a bit on my words on that.
No worries.
But what I want to get to is that, you know, you still get within our community
mm-hmm.
gay men, mm-hmm. bisexual men,
mm-hmm.
pan, etc.
Mm-hmm.
that would look down on you for being in drag.
Yeah.
You know? And so, sitting back and reflecting upon it, I used to be there.
Mm.
You know? So I always tell myself, but you used to be there. And the only reason why you were there was because you didn't understand.
Yeah.
And so automatically in my mind, the switch went on and I said, but Jason, they don't understand.
Mm.
So let them be. Mm. You know? And so when they were nasty, when they were going on about, you know, you being in drag, when they stopped replying to my messages, when they unfriended me, I said, you know what? They don't understand. There will come a point in their lives where they will understand.
Mm.
Might not be today, tomorrow, or next year, but there will come a point eventually.
Mm.
You know, because we need to allow people that time to grow and to mature on their own pace.
Mm.
To put it, if you may put it at that. You can't always force your opinion onto someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, yeah, so I think that's it for me.
Okay, thank you so much, Jason. Yeah, like, I can even, like, compare myself in that situation, like the Effie compared to the Jody. There is definitely a difference in the way that some people, you know, treat me. And, like, even on the social media, like, guys would be messaging you on your Jody profile. They find out that you Effie. They're like, ooh. I'm not going to speak to you because I don't want to date a drag queen. You know what? But like you say, everybody, you know, has to grow, mature, and understand. And so we don't hold that against them. To each their own, you know. Let's just end it on to each their own.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Jason, for agreeing to be the guest on my podcast, Tea Time with Effie, today. And yeah, hopefully this won't be the first and last time, but we'll see in the future what is going to be in store for you and Peyton she decides to come back.
Effie, before we go, can I just say that, you know, I think this is an important message just to leave everyone with from my side, especially in the times that we're living in with this virus going that has spread throughout the world. You know, I think that we should all just continue loving each other.
Oh.
We should stop hating and looking down on each other, especially within our LGBTQA plus community, you know. I look at a lot of this, the Facebook statuses and so forth, and I look at the negativity that a lot of us are spreading. I think that we should stop spreading negativity, especially during this time. We should literally start caring more and looking out more for each other and just love more. And care more and give more where you can. So from my side, love and peace. Catch y'all hopefully soon.
Thank you so much for that, Jason. So y'all know how we end up every episode. Whether you was listening to us while driving in your car, maybe you was laying on your bed and you had us in your earphones, or you was doing your weekly or monthly shopping. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Y'all be blessed.